Hey guys, welcome to the Bitcoin Fortress podcast, helping you increase your financial freedom. This is episode 108, recorded here on March 24th, 2024. This podcast is for entertainment only, not investing advice. So, as always, please do your own homework. Okay, so we got the market update and outlook, and then the top Bitcoin news. Lots of stuff to talk about this week. So let's jump right in with the market news. The benchmark S&P 500 on Friday marked its best weekly performance of 2024, snapping a two-week losing streak in the process. Wall Street's bull run was rekindled after the Federal Reserve's updated dot plot stuck to three interest rate cuts this year. Many market participants were fearing much worse. And Fed Chair Jerome Powell further allayed concerns with a relaxed attitude towards recent hot inflation reports. Well, I'm glad he's not feeling the heat. For the week, the S&P 500 advanced 2.3%, the blue chip Dow added 2%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite climbed 2.9%. Looking ahead, in the week ahead, the spotlight will be on a host of Federal Reserve speakers who will be returning from a blackout period following the latest FOMC meeting. With the Fed signaling confidence in three anticipated interest rate cuts this year, investors will be watching the upcoming speeches for commentary that will reinforce that messaging. And so, if you don't think it's ridiculous that this is how we have to manage our investments, then I don't know what to tell you. This is why we just opt out in Bitcoin. Fed board governors will be giving various talks, capped off at the end of the week by Fed Chair Jerome Powell participating in a moderated discussion at a San Francisco Fed conference. With the Fed's latest messaging, market participants have increased their expectations of a 25 basis point rate cut at the central bank's June meeting. And again, this is what the market is looking at, is what do these guys say? What do they do? We don't even really pay attention to anything besides that, and that is pretty sad. The economic calendar will feature the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, another fake number. There will also be data on consumer confidence and durable goods orders. Turning to corporate earnings, investors will receive quarterly reports from pharmacy chain Walgreens Boots Alliance and the world's largest cruise operator, Carnival. The week will also feature a potentially important investor day for parcel delivery giant UPS. Jumping into the Bitcoin news, this first article is from Bitcoin.com. This was updated yesterday. A little bit of FUD to start our session here on top Bitcoin news. Renowned investor Jim Rogers expects all cryptocurrencies to, quote, disappear and says Bitcoin will, quote, go to zero someday. So, being sort of an open-minded person, I always like to hear the other side of an argument, especially from someone who is a pretty esteemed investor, Jim Rogers. So let's see what he has to say. Despite Bitcoin's recent price explosion that set a new all-time high, veteran investor Jim Rogers remains skeptical of the cryptocurrency and the broader crypto market. Rogers is George Soros's former business partner who co-founded the Quantum Fund and Soros Fund Management. Rogers threw cold water on the crypto craze at the India Today conclave last week, stating, quote, "I'm very skeptical of crypto. I don't expect it to last. It's been fabulous for some people now, not for me, but I do not see any long-term value in cryptocurrency." Okay. "I have more confidence in the future in real things that people can use than I do in Bitcoin," he continued. "Whether it's rice or sugar, doesn't matter. I know that rice will always have value. It has always. I do not know that Bitcoin will always have value." The veteran investor also asserted, "Bitcoin will disappear and go to zero someday." On the other hand, he pointed out that the value of commodities such as sugar will not vanish. "The value of sugar is not going to disappear and go to zero someday," he noted. Moreover, Rogers doubts Bitcoin's ability to replace safe haven assets like gold and silver. I don't think that Bitcoin is going to replace gold, and I don't think it's going to replace silver, he opined. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should sell all my gold and silver and buy Bitcoin, but as far as I can see, most people in the world understand gold and silver, but most do not understand Bitcoin. Rogers also confirmed that he does not own Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrencies. When asked where he would buy gold or Bitcoin, he replied, "I've never bought Bitcoin. I've never sold or short Bitcoin. I do have a lot of gold and silver, as you can see." He concluded, "In my view, cryptocurrencies apparently are good trading vehicles. I expect them to all to disappear someday. Many of them have already disappeared," which is true. Shitcoins come and go. We need to stay away from those. The renowned investor has long been a crypto skeptic. In 2021, he said he wouldn't buy Bitcoin because governments may outlaw cryptocurrencies. He followed this up in 2022 by highlighting government desires to control and regulate all aspects of crypto. In February of this year, he cast further doubt on Bitcoin's potential to become money. Roger's skepticism extends beyond cryptocurrencies. He has also warned of the potential demise of the US dollar, pointing to countries exploring alternative reserve currencies. He predicted that the US will suffer as the value of the dollar erodes further, seeing the Chinese yuan as the US dollar's competitor. He also expects the next recession to be the worst one in his lifetime. So breaking this down, here's another gold bug who is just unable to see that Bitcoin really has value as a digital commodity that can be freely exchanged. It can't be banned. It is superior to gold, but the problem is he's so far into gold and silver, and frankly, commodities and other things that he, kind of is sort of in a position where he has to talk his book, which is to say it's precious metals and commodities. On the thing about sugar, I mean, yeah, sugar's always going to have value, but they could produce more sugar, and in fact, potentially infinite amounts of sugar if the price went high enough. And Bitcoin doesn't have has a limited, absolute limited supply, even better than gold. Gold still has some supply growth of, I don't know, 2% a year or something for what they dig out of the ground. So, unfortunately, for a guy with this much experience and wisdom, he sadly can't see the benefits of Bitcoin, and he's kind of stuck to his talking points over the years, all of which are, I think, unfortunately, not correct. But we'll see. We'll see who's right. I don't think Bitcoin's going to zero, though. If it is, I'm going to buy all of it. Next up, another Bitcoin skeptic, although with an interesting twist. This one was posted 3 days ago on Bitcoin.com. Peter Schiff highlights problem with owning Bitcoin ETF. Bitcoin investors respond, self-custody is key. Gold advocate and economist Peter Schiff has highlighted a problem with owning spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, he wrote on social media platform X Tuesday. One problem with owning Bitcoin and ETF is that liquidity is limited to US market hours. So, if the market crashes overnight, you have no ability to sell until the US market opens for trading in the morning. Very frustrating to watch helplessly with no ability to get out. Schiff's statement came after the price of Bitcoin dipped earlier this week. The gold bug shared on X Monday, the more Bitcoin that moves into ETFs, the more vulnerable Bitcoin becomes to a catastrophic crash. That's because ETF buyers are more likely traders than true believers. So if Bitcoin is going up, they'll go along for the ride, but once it enters a bear market, they'll bail out. When the liquidity of physical gold is questioned, Schiff replied, "Gold doesn't crash overnight like Bitcoin, so there's nothing to worry about." Many people commented on Schiff's post. Bloomberg ETF analyst James Seifert pointed out that the issue Schiff raised with spot Bitcoin ETFs applies to other ETFs as well, including gold ETFs. The analyst detailed on X, "This isn't new, though, or exclusive to Bitcoin. Gold ETF, same thing. Any commodity ETF, yep, International equity ETF, same deal. Even stocks that have market moving events occurring after market hours or during the weekend is pretty similar. And that is 100% true. A number of Bitcoin proponents responded to Schiff's post by emphasizing the importance of self-custody and buying Bitcoin directly instead of through ETFs. Simon Dixon, CEO and co-founder of Bank to the Future, replied to Schiff, true, plus no ability to buy Bitcoin ETF when the market is closed. Moral of the story is to own real Bitcoin if you can. It's a lot easier than owning real gold without a custodian. Entrepreneur Bryce Clark opined, you know, Peter Schiff brings up a good point here. You really should self-custody your crypto, stop letting third parties hold it. Great advice. And thanks for the warning, Peter. Gotta love it. Dave Weisberger, an advocate of digital assets for economic freedom, wrote, unwittingly, Peter provides another reason why the world's analog asset markets will go digital, 24/7 multi-currency markets with on-demand settlement using on-chain value stores as the unit of account are superior and will be adopted. Peter Schiff's not a big fan of Bitcoin, and he's trying to come up with another reason why you shouldn't buy Bitcoin. But the reality is there are going to be traders, and traders can certainly use Bitcoin ETFs and the options that are associated with Bitcoin ETFs for their trading activities. And that could increase volatility. And certainly, Bitcoin's had a pullback here recently. We'll talk about that a little bit towards the end. But if you just buy the Bitcoin, put it in cold storage, and just sort of forget about it, you'll look back in a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you'll be happy that you did. Next up, this one is from CoinDesk. This was posted on March 22nd. Now we moved from the bears into the bulls. Kathy Wood calls Bitcoin a quote, financial superhighway, reiterates $1.5 million price target. So it'll be really interesting to see, in, I don't know, 5, 10 years, who was right and who was wrong. Because there's obviously strong opinions on either side. You've got Jim Rogers saying it's going to zero. You got Cathie Wood saying, no, it's going to 1.5 million. So who knows? Maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. ARK Invest CEO Cathie Wood called Bitcoin a financial superhighway, emphasizing the important use cases for the cryptocurrency in emerging markets. This is key. Wood, whose ARK Invest recently became one of the issuers of a spot Bitcoin exchange-traded fund, ARKB, said the asset manager is focused on emerging markets and the macro environment worldwide, which has been shocked by the U.S. Federal Reserve's increase in interest rates, she said during a fireside chat at the Friday Bitcoin Investor Day conference in New York. There are signals, and not all is well in the world, she said about countries like Nigeria, one of the biggest adopters of Bitcoin because of the strong depreciation of the country's currency. Because of that, Wood sees Bitcoin as a risk-off asset and a risk-on asset. ARK Spot Bitcoin ETF has become one of the more successful Bitcoin ETFs among the 10 funds issued in January. Wood said that with more institutions entering the space, mathematically speaking, Bitcoin's price could easily rise above 3.5 million. However, she wouldn't give a new specific price target. Bitcoin has miles to go, she said instead, and pointed to her previous call of $1.5 million price target. So there you have it from Auntie Kathy. Next article is from Bitcoin Magazine, a little bit more bullish news. This article was posted on March 22nd. BlackRock's Robert Michnick, Bitcoin is overwhelmingly the number one priority for clients. In a fireside chat today at the Bitcoin Investor Day by Reflexivity Research, Robert Michnick, the head of digital assets at BlackRock, shared insights into the asset manager's approach to Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the future of the crypto market. Michnick emphasized that Bitcoin remains overwhelmingly the top priority for BlackRock's clients with minimal interest in other cryptocurrencies. He highlighted that the crypto community desires a broader range of crypto products from BlackRock, but the company's focus remains on Bitcoin. Regarding the future of Bitcoin on Wall Street, Mitch Nick expressed optimism about a convergence between traditional finance and new technological advancements, stating, "Eventually, we expect there will be a convergence where the best of the old system and the new technology will become fused into a new infrastructure system in finance." Earlier this year, the United States Securities and Exchange Commission approved a batch of spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, including BlackRock's application. Since then, their ETF has gone on to be one of the most successful ETF launches in history. BlackRock's spot Bitcoin ETF, IBIT, has seen net inflows for the last 49 days straight, something only 30 other ETFs have ever done, according to Bloomberg senior ETF analyst Eric Balchunas. And there's a little chart in here, so I'll include links to all the articles so you can take a look at it for yourself. Now flipping to nation state news, and of course, got to start with the FUD. This one here is from Cointelegraph. This was posted on March 23rd. EU committees approve ban on anonymous crypto transactions via hosted wallets. This is particularly important news for those folks who live in the EU. So let's jump right into this. A majority of the European Parliament's lead committees have approved a ban on cryptocurrency transactions of any value made through hosted crypto wallets. This comes amid the European Council and Parliament provisionally agreeing to expand parts of the European Union's anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing laws to cover the cryptocurrency market. According to an ex post by Patrick Breyer, a member of the European Parliament for the Puritan Partei Deutschland, Pirate Party of Germany, a majority of the EU Parliament's lead committees approved the new AML laws on March 19. Breyer is one of only two members who voted against the ban on anonymous crypto payments. Gunnar Beck of Alternative for Deutschland, Alternative for Germany, also voted against the ban. And those guys have been getting hammered by the incumbent politicians of Germany as being neo-Nazis or whatever. So that's kind of interesting, too. The ban applies specifically to hosted or custodial crypto wallets offered by third-party service providers, such as centralized exchanges. The new AML legislation applies certain limits for cash transactions and anonymous cryptocurrency payments. Under the new rules, anonymous cash payments over 3,000 euros will be banned in commercial transactions, and cash payments over 10,000 euros will be completely banned in business transactions. The new legislation is expected to be fully operational within 3 years from its entry into force. However, Dylan Eustace, an Ireland-based law firm, expects the legislation to become fully operational earlier. Many cryptocurrency networks function within permissionless environments, allowing anyone to create a cryptographic private key and granting unrestricted anonymous entry into the system, a fundamental principle of crypto. In a press release after the lead committees approved the legislation, Breyer outlined why he opposed the bill, saying it comprises economic independence, compromises independent economic independence and financial privacy. He said he considers the ability to transact anonymously a fundamental right, and he is 100% correct in my opinion. The crypto community has had a mixed response to the EU's regulatory measures. Some believe the new AML laws are necessary, while others fear they may infringe on privacy and restrict economic activity. Daniel Lodi-Troster, host of the Sound Money Bitcoin podcast, underscored the practical hurdles and consequences of the recent legislation. He outlined the impact on donations and the broader implications for cryptocurrency use within the EU and expressed concerns over the stifling effect the rules could have. And of course, you know, this also puts people who are fighting authoritarian regimes, dissidents at a disadvantage, making their activity even more criminal because, of course, they're going to want to be anonymous and they're going to want to use Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies potentially to fund their operations. Because what happens to dissidents? They get their bank accounts taken away. And of course, you know, you can try to legislate this, but nobody can stop you from setting up a wallet. I mean, all you have to do is write down 12 to 24 words and, roll some dice or whatever, and you're on the network, I think probably you'll see some civil disobedience, and they're going to find out that this is not going to be an easy law to enforce. Just as China had a very difficult time banning Bitcoin, I think the EU is going to find out. So good luck. Next up is from CoinDesk. This article is posted on March 22nd. El Salvador doubles down on Bitcoin in a series of strategic moves that underline its commitment to cryptocurrency. El Salvador continues to deepen its engagement with the digital currency market, particularly Bitcoin. Well, actually, only Bitcoin. President Nayib Bukele recently announced El Salvador's plan to buy one Bitcoin every day, aiming to continue this practice until it becomes unaffordable with fiat currencies. This initiative has pushed the nation's Bitcoin holdings to a substantial total of 5,690 Bitcoin, valued at approximately $400 million. In tandem with its cryptocurrency endeavors, El Salvador has made a bold statement in the global investment landscape by eliminating income tax for international investments and money transfers. This tax cut from 30% to zero is designed to attract foreign investors and boost economic growth. The country's commitment to Bitcoin was further highlighted this week as it transferred more than 5,000 Bitcoin into a cold wallet. President Bukele disclosed that a significant portion of these assets, amounting to 400 million worth of Bitcoin, has been moved to an offline device stored in a physical vault within the nation's territory. This move to secure the digital assets in a, quote, Bitcoin piggy bank marks a significant step in El Salvador's financial strategy, offering a higher level of security and signaling strong faith in the cryptocurrency's future. So again, you have a nation that's put their savings into Bitcoin. So there's another opinion on what the future holds for Bitcoin versus, again, Jim Rogers, it's going to zero. The decision to make the transfer to a cold wallet came after El Salvador's Bitcoin treasury swelled unexpectedly, nearly doubling its previously known stash. The country had been acquiring Bitcoin through various means, including daily purchases, sales of passports, currency conversions for businesses, mining, and government services. This approach has dramatically increased El Salvador's Bitcoin holdings, which were believed to be less than 3,000 Bitcoin before this revelation. So they've been stacking sats, haven't they? El Salvador's pioneering stance on Bitcoin began in September 2021 when it became the first country to adopt the digital currency as legal tender. Since then, Bitcoin's value has seen significant fluctuations, recently hitting a record high of 73,800. The country's ongoing daily Bitcoin purchases and the creation of a tax-free crypto haven powered by geothermal energy from a volcano showcase its innovative approach to harnessing cryptocurrency for economic development. You certainly cannot fault them for that. They have really jump-started their economy with this initiative. President Bukele's vision extends beyond merely accumulating Bitcoin. He envisions transforming El Salvador into a wealthy nation through strategic investments and initiatives related to the digital currency. Despite criticisms and warnings from international bodies like the International Monetary Fund, El Salvador's commitment to its Bitcoin strategy remains steadfast, with the nation showing no signs of divesting from the cryptocurrency. El Salvador's bold foray into the world of Bitcoin and its efforts to create a conducive environment for cryptocurrency investments reflect a significant shift in how nations perceive and engage with digital currencies. As the country continues its Bitcoin acquisition program and enhances its cryptocurrency infrastructure, it sets a precedent for others to follow, potentially reshaping the global financial landscape in the process. So, very bullish. Whether you like the politics there or not, whether you think he's a authoritarian and throwing all the gangsters in jail was bad, You can't fault their approach towards Bitcoin and the results that it's had in terms of increasing tourism and increasing investment. And of course, their Bitcoin stack is proof. And you can actually check it. They actually published the address, so you can actually look it up on the blockchain, which is pretty cool. Next up is from my favorite, Crypto Potato. This article was posted on March 23rd, and this one is entitled "Argentinians Turn to Bitcoin Amid Increasing Inflation Rates," according to a report. In the face of relentless inflation and economic instability, Argentinians are increasingly turning to Bitcoin as a refuge, with recent data indicating a surge in purchases of the cryptocurrency. This trend comes as Bitcoin has experienced a remarkable rally in recent months, hitting record highs and outpacing traditional hedges against inflation, such as the US dollar. According to a Bloomberg report, in the first week of March alone, the number of weekly Bitcoin purchases in Argentina soared to 34,700, marking the highest volume seen in the country in 20 months. This surge represents more than double the levels observed in early February, showing Argentinians' growing interest and adoption of Bitcoin. The appeal of Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation has intensified as the cryptocurrency has witnessed substantial gains, rising as much as 73% year to date and reaching an all-time high of over 73,000. This surge has been attributed to various factors, including the introduction of the US's first spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, and anticipation surrounding the upcoming halving event scheduled in April. Argentina's inflation rate, currently at 276%, has eroded the value of the national currency, the peso, prompting citizens to seek alternative stores of value. Traditionally, the US dollar has been the preferred choice for Argentinians seeking stability amidst economic turmoil. However, the recent strengthening of the peso, coupled with government efforts to stabilize the currency, has diminished the appeal of the greenback. President Javier Milei's administration has taken steps to address economic challenges, including efforts to clean up the central bank's balance sheet. While Milei had campaigned on a promise to dollarize Argentina's economy, his approach since taking office has focused on managing the peso's valuation rather than immediate dollarization. He's also suggested that full dollarization remains a distant prospect. The shift toward Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation and economic uncertainty has also led to a decline in demand for traditional assets, including digital tokens tied to real-world currencies such as USDT and USDC. Argentina has a history of economic instability marked by frequent devaluation of its currency, which poses challenges for its residents in saving and managing finances. This has increased interest in cryptocurrency in the country, driven by the desire to avoid the effects of peso devaluation, high inflation, and limitations on accessing foreign currencies. So this is pretty interesting news. And again, you tend to see Bitcoin adoption in countries that have high inflation. I think I saw a chart or a bunch of charts that showed the all-time highs, and almost every currency in the world is hitting all-time highs against the currency versus Bitcoin, except for the US, obviously, recently, and then it's pulled back a little bit. But it kind of follows the thesis that all the other fiat currencies will collapse into the dollar, and then the dollar will sort of be the last one. And eventually, as history tells us, the reserve currencies go through a period of growth and then decline, and eventually a new one comes along. So we'll see. It could take a long time, though. So you have to be patient and be prepared, and that's why we Bitcoin. Also from Crypto Potato, this is posted today. This is a little market commentary on the pullback. Bitcoin's 15% correction propelled by profit taking, but bull cycle is far from over, according to CryptoQuant. Bitcoin has entered a period of price correction following its ascent to an all-time high of 73,700, Miners, whales, and other market participants, including large investors, had begun selling their Bitcoin to make profits. However, analysts at CryptoQuant believe the Bitcoin bull cycle is far from over, as price valuation metrics are largely shy from levels seen in past market tops. The bull bear market cycle indicator flagged an overheated bull phase last week as Bitcoin plummeted from 73,700 to 60,700. The decline was triggered by traders offloading their stash to realize high profit margins. CryptoQuant found that unrealized profit margins soared to 69%, its highest level since March 2021, when Bitcoin was trading at around 60,000. Although traders are selling their assets, unrealized profit margins are still at high levels of 47%. Indeed, short-term Bitcoin holders, including traders, sold Bitcoin at the highest profit margin since May 2019. This signals that short-term Bitcoin holders took profits after this last price that took Bitcoin to a fresh all-time high, analysts said. Large Bitcoin holders also offloaded their assets as prices soared above 70,000. Altogether, they moved 567,000 Bitcoin when the digital asset touched its all-time high on March 12, representing 35% of total transfers on the Bitcoin network. CryptoQuant said some of the large holders are Bitcoin miners, who, by the way, those are the natural sellers of Bitcoin, since that's how they fund their operations. Miners saw record daily high revenues due to Bitcoin's last rally, and there was a notable uptick in their Bitcoin transfers to over-the-counter desks as the crypto asset crossed $70,000. Furthermore, demand for Bitcoin in the United States has eased off, as seen in the Coinbase premium, which turned negative shortly after Bitcoin hit 73,000. Analysts noted that if the correction persists, Bitcoin could fall to $58,000 to $60,000 level, which is the cost basis of large short-term holders. From a longer-term perspective, Bitcoin has yet to touch this bull cycle top, as shown by the low levels of new investment flows. Currently, around 48% of Bitcoin investments come from short-term holders, while historically bull cycles usually end with 84 to 92% of investments from this cohort of investors. Moreover, valuation metrics are not yet near levels consistent with past market tops. CryptoQuant P&L index is still outside a market top zone and above the index one-year moving average, analysts added. So good information to have. Of course, the traders are going to trade and they want to buy themselves a new sweater. So they're going to sell, book some profits, go buy that sweater. And meanwhile, you know, we're just going to hodl on. The only time I'm going to sell my Bitcoin is when there's something I really, really want with it more than I want the Bitcoin. And that's, I think, pretty much the mindset of most of the hodlers in the community. And finally, from Bitcoin Magazine, part of their 10 Steps to Self-Sovereignty series. I thought this would be interesting and hopefully educational. The Do's and Don'ts of Bitcoin Self-Custody. And so this was posted on March 22nd. Again, if you want to read any of this yourself, I will post links in the show notes. So this one starts out, Bitcoin is a completely decentralized system. There's no ability to reverse payments, and there's no customer support line where you can call for help if you mess something up. When you take self-custody of your own Bitcoin, you, and only you, are responsible for the safety of your funds. Self-custody also means that no one can freeze your funds, and no one can stop you from making a payment you want to make. It's a double-edged sword. There are huge benefits to self-custody, but it also comes with responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. If you make a mistake and send Bitcoin to the wrong address, there's no undoing it. Then, if someone can access your seed phrase or your seed words, there's no customer support to help you. That person now has access to your money. If you lose your keys and your seed phrase backups, there's no recovery process to get your wallet back. It's very much like cash in that regard. Once it's gone, it's gone. People generally go through life with no existential anxiety over having small amounts of cash, but protecting significant amounts of money presents a source of worry, and Bitcoin is no different. When it comes to managing your Bitcoin, there are multiple types of wallets you can use. However, not all of them offer you true ownership of your assets. Here's a breakdown of the types of wallets you will encounter and how they approach self-custody. Custodial wallets are generally offered by centralized exchanges, the same platforms that allow you to buy Bitcoin with fiat currency. These wallets work essentially just like a bank account. You do not actually have any control of your money. They can freeze your funds, lock and close your account, and deny you permission to make transactions or withdrawals with your own money. They do offer the potential to transact very cheaply with other users of the same wallet, but at the cost of giving control over your money to the custodian. They should never be used to store any significant amount of money, and any Bitcoin you purchase should be withdrawn to a non-custodial wallet as soon as possible. Non-custodial wallets all offer true self-custody. Only you have access to your assets. But even wallets that offer self-custody come with a range of trade-offs. They can also serve different purposes. Software wallets, also known as hot wallets, run on your mobile phone or your laptop computer. They do leave control over your funds in your own hands, but they manage and store the private keys on your device. This exposes them to the risk of compromise by hackers. You should only protect small amounts of money with a software wallet that you reasonably expect to spend in a short period of time. A hardware wallet is a special device designed to keep your private keys as secure as possible. These devices are what you should use to store the bulk of your Bitcoin. They keep the private keys offline and inaccessible to any threat from hackers and allow signing transactions in a secure environment. A special note when using hardware wallets, the vast majority of them have a screen on the device that is used to display information about where a transaction is being sent before signing. Always double check the address and amounts shown on your device when signing to make sure the money is being sent to the correct place. Here are some basic tips that you can take to ensure you are interacting with your Bitcoin in a safe and secure manner. The first thing you have to do when taking custody of your own funds is to generate your seed words, also known as a seed phrase. This is like the master key to all of the accounts you will create with that wallet. When you first complete the wallet setup, your wallet will generate a random number called a seed or entropy. From there, your wallet will translate this number into 12 to 24 words called a seed phrase or seed words. Any wallet that is properly designed to encourage user safety should have you verify and prove you wrote down the seed phrase by challenging you on some or all of the words in it. If you are managing significant sums of money, it is always safest to double check. To follow, you will need to generate an account, which will create your wallet's first receiving address. It never hurts to be safe and double check things. After you finish setting up your wallet, but before you start transacting, you can reset the wallet and reinitialize it. Instead of generating a new seed phrase, you can import the one you just backed up. If the first Bitcoin address is the same, you can be sure you've correctly backed up your seed phrase. When it comes to making your first withdrawal from an exchange, it can be a bit nerve-wracking. Is this address correct? Did I make a mistake? One of the scariest things for many people about Bitcoin is the digital nature of it. Everyone has in their mind this image from a movie scene where some teenage hacker compromises a government system to further the plot. Most people don't understand the first thing about how computers work, but they understand there are numerous ways they can be compromised or hacked. I don't know about you, but when there's a risk I'm aware of that could affect me and I don't understand how that risk exposes itself to me, I get worried. Just like verifying your seed phrase by recovering the backup before using the wallet, you can send coins to your wallet slowly. If someone were to compromise how you generated your wallet in the first place, they would be able to take any money you send to that wallet the instant you send it. So, just don't send all of your money at once. Send a small test transaction with a tiny percent of the Bitcoin you intend to take into self-custody. Make sure those funds actually show up in your wallet first. To really be sure, you can even make sure that you can spend those coins by sending them back to the next address in your wallet. After making a test transaction, ensuring that you have the keys needed to spend money sent to that wallet, you can deposit the rest of your money to that wallet. After a small test deposit without seeing such a transaction occur that you didn't initiate, you can have much greater confidence that your wallet was set up securely. Your seed phrase backup is your money. Whoever has access to your seed has full access to your funds. There is no customer support line to call. There are no chargebacks or insurance coverage for stolen funds in non-custodial Bitcoin wallets. If you mess this up, that's what's done is done. Hardware wallets that you actually use to sign transactions are specifically designed to hold the private keys your seed generates securely. When you make a backup of your seed phrase, it should strictly be on something analog, a piece of paper, a steel plate with punched letters, or something physical and completely offline. You should never do something like take a screenshot or picture of your seed phrase on your phone, or keep a backup in a text document or Google Cloud or iCloud. People's computers and internet service accounts get hacked and compromised on a regular basis at very large scales. Only keeping your keys stored on a physical medium like paper and a secure device like a hardware wallet immensely lowers your risk of your coins being stolen through the compromise of your seed phrase. Your iCloud account can be hacked remotely from anywhere, whereas the seed phrase backup on steel in your safe requires someone to physically break into your safe. If you're using a multi-sig wallet, the seed phrase backups are not enough to recover your funds. The point of multi-sig is to increase your security by requiring more than one key to sign to spend your money. Typically, they will require a minimum threshold of devices that must sign each transaction. For example, it might require two out of three signatures. This ensures that someone compromising or you losing a key doesn't, or two, doesn't result in losing your funds. But it comes with a nuanced catch. You can lose some of the private keys in a multi-sig, but if you don't keep all of your public keys, you won't be able to find your Bitcoin on the blockchain to spend it in the future. This is due to how multi-sig wallets create the information necessary to process transactions. When you make backups for a multi-sig wallet, each individual private key backup should also be accompanied by a backup of the public keys. Wallets will call this an XPUB for all of the wallet addresses involved in the multi-sig. This ensures that you can find your coins on chain even if you lose access to one of the accounts. Being involved in Bitcoin can be a very exciting experience, especially when the price is going up. This can also be a liability depending on who knows about your Bitcoin holdings. As was mentioned earlier, if someone can gain access to your seed phrase, they gain access to your money. Bitcoin has the potential to become immensely valuable in the future. Owning Bitcoin is not a fact that you should be parading around to the whole world and everyone should know. Obviously, if you're married, it will be very difficult to keep a significant sum of Bitcoin secret from your spouse. If you have very close friends, it's something likely to come up or be observed by them over time. But you don't have to go telling everyone you meet that you own Bitcoin, and you shouldn't. As Bitcoin has increased in value over the years, physical attacks on Bitcoiners in order to steal their money have become more and more common. The more people who know you hold Bitcoin, the greater your exposure to potential risks like that. Don't go blabbing your mouth off to everyone you meet about your Bitcoin stack. And that is really, really good advice. And if you don't remember anything about this, remember that. Bitcoin can be, although it shouldn't be, an intimidating thing to take possession of. It's just like cash in a way. If you lose it, no one can do anything about it. But in other ways, it's not quite like cash at all. People are worried about holding large sums of cash because if you lose it or someone steals it, it's gone for good. Bitcoin can be backed up. If you lose your Bitcoin, you can literally just magically get it back if you have a backup. That's because your Bitcoin isn't in your wallet. Your Bitcoin is stored on the blockchain. If you have a copy of your seed phrase, you can regain access to all of your Bitcoin no matter which wallet you use. You can't just back up physical cash. A Xerox copy of cash isn't cash and won't be treated as such by anyone. But a Bitcoin word seed phrase restores your access to your Bitcoin instantly. That should be an alleviation of anxiety when comparing Bitcoin to something like cash. Multi-sig wallets offer an option to defend against theft. When you have a safe full of cash at home, someone can simply break into your house and take all of it. With a multi-sig Bitcoin wallet, if you only have a single key at home with you, a thief cannot take your Bitcoin by breaking in and taking the key you have at home. This is something that cash cannot do. Larger amounts of cash are a large incentive for thieves to target you, but if they don't know you have a large amount of cash, they have no reason to target you. Just don't tell them about it. Bitcoin isn't a special variable here. Bitcoin can be intimidating to self-custody because of the risks it shares in common with cash, but when you really take the time to learn what tools are available to help you self-custody it, it's not that intimidating. In many ways, it can be safer than cash to hold yourself. So stop worrying, have a little patience, and slowly take the time to learn the basic things you can do to protect your stack yourself. After a little while, you won't even think twice about it. So very nice write-up and a lot of good advice in there. So not much more to add to And I did want to highlight this week's featured Bitcoin Fortress Substack post entitled From Strength to Strength, Applying Arthur C. Brooks' Wisdom to Bitcoiners in the Second Half of Life. It was a book I read recently, and I thought, wow, this really has a lot to do with Bitcoin. So kind of like a book review. But anyway, check it out. And I'll have a link in the show notes to that. And if you like the Substack, please subscribe. Okay. And with that, we will wrap up this week's episode. So thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please like and leave a comment. Also, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. I like Fountain, where you can earn sats for listening on randomly, but still, it's cool. So don't miss an episode. You can also follow my Substack at bitcoinfortress.substack.com. You can also follow me on Noster. My EndPub is in the show notes. And with that, I will talk to y'all next week. Bye bye.